Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave. I am immortal, I'll never rest in peace. And you're never gonna be, never gonna be, never be.
Non-stop,
Liam Neeson movie. And
oh, yeah. How was that?
Good. And the new RoboCop.
Oh, I haven't got to see that yet.
Pretty good.
It wasn't cheesy? It wasn't like a bad remake or anything?
No, it was actually pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty neat then. We actually got to go on an investigation this last weekend, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we went to Moundsville, West Virginia. We got to go with another group, Blackwater. They invited us, and they got another West Virginia division, and it was just freaking awesome. That place is so neat, and it's just, you know, once you go to a location and you really like it, you're just so daggone excited to go back to it. And we just had a really good time, although we had to, like, pull one of those, like, trucker moves, man. We didn't sleep for I don't know how long. We drove straight there. We investigated until 6 o'clock in the morning and then drove straight back. And, man, we could hardly even keep our eyes open.
Blackwater. Where is that group from?
They're from Bedford, Virginia.
Is there female elders out? Is their founder a female?
No. It's actually a dude. He's a pretty funny guy. He's kind of feminine. Nah, he'll kill me for that. No, it actually is a... It was... Their group... they're going to kill me if I get this wrong, but I know that they were with another group at one time, and they were like the leg group. They did the investigations and stuff, and then they kind of branched off on their own and just went their own path and stuff. But, no, mostly it's men. They do have ladies on their group, though, but mostly, yeah, I think the founders were men.
Oh, okay. I got that in my mind mixed up with another group I know, so, yeah.
There's like a group for everything now. Have you noticed that? I mean, there's like Black Cat, Black Water,
Black Raven,
Black Raven, yeah. Black Butt. No, I just added that one in.
Damn. I have a caller on hold. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take care of our sponsorship deal, play that, and screen this call. And we'll be right back. If it decides to play.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend? For vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOAA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOAA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
All right. Wow. My phone's making a lot of noise. We really don't have a guest tonight, so girls, we may have calls from all kinds of different people tonight. We have Ryan from the Debunker Boys, our Saturday night show here on the URM Radio Network with us right now. What's up, man?
Living the American dream. Just got back from taking my dog for a walk and thought I'd give you all a shout.
Sweet, man. How has things been going with you guys on Saturday?
It's going pretty well. Actually, last week we set out to disprove psychics, and I believe I believe we did pretty well. We were supposed to have three or four of them call in, but they got cold feet at the last minute, and we had one brave soul that came on, and she couldn't read a billboard if it was in front of her face. Other than that, things are going pretty well. I'm wondering about the numbers, the listener numbers, because I've been checking on that on Blog Talk a lot, and the numbers should be higher because we're getting messages all the time, and we get my buddy Robert, his mother works at OSU, and the entire cardiology department listens, and they're always like telling us, oh, that show was funny and everything, yet the numbers are still pretty low. And
yeah,
we know
they've
got to be higher.
Yeah, don't go by those numbers. Matt and I were talking about it because there's times where his show will say that if there's not very many listeners, and he's got a full chat room of people. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with those numbers. They're not accurate at all.
Uh-uh. They're about as accurate as our psychic on Saturday night.
What's the most popular show on this network?
It varies. Each week.
The Onyx show seems to always have their numbers pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It
depends. I know. My numbers have dropped on my shows because I've been having trouble finding guests because 3 years of doing a show every week, I've kind of, my Rolodex of people that I know have kind of run out. So
I'm telling you, man, I can't wait to have that haunting group come on. They've started a new haunted attraction here in Virginia. I've let her know that we were definitely interested, and I think she's trying to convey with their people. I think she might bring some characters on and stuff like that. So I'll really have to update you on that. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Anybody that you know that might be interested in coming on the show, just let me know because, like I said, I am drawing a blank over here. I mean, I could start messaging people, but...
You know where the best place to look for people is? Is
the
question. Is on Facebook. Well... Is on that Facebook page, Real Paranormal Activity. Man, I'm finding all kinds of kooky people on there. I mean, they're perfect for the Debunker Boys show.
See, that's the cool thing. We don't want your average investigator. We want the ones that wear the aluminum foil hats and will come on here and give us a story, man.
Well, if you want, I can give you some phone numbers for some booking agents. For a lot of the celebrities and everything, and you might have to pay $50 here or something like that to get one of the big guys on, but I've actually chatted with a lot of celebrities but trying to get them on is like pulling teeth because they don't like to do anything for free, but actually what I'm working on right now is what we've been hitting on a lot lately is a lot of these religious fanatics who intertwine the paranormal field with their religion.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. I keep coming across these supposed reverends who pay $5 online to get their certification, to get their, their ordainship and stuff, and they are the most outlandish people out there. Actually, one I got into a fight with over a picture that he said. He goes, "This is not pareidolia or matrixing because it's a solid black background behind this orb and everything. And if you can see the face, this is one of the spirits that I'm helping out." He says, "My house is sitting on a 70% quartz." Foundation with underground waterways and stuff. The spirits call it a sanctuary, and God has given me permission to help thousands of spirits cross over into the light but only on Monday night. Every other night
of
the week, my house is clean. I'm like, what
let me
hell?
Ask you a question. Does he come from Virginia or anywhere around here? Because I've heard, does he go by father, like father something or another?
No, no, I actually lost his contact information. I'm going to get a hold of Robert again. This guy will not talk to us. He actually called our show Troll City.
So what?
He called our show Troll City. Because, you know, because I came on and I told him that his picture was nothing more than the product of a cheap digital camera.
Right.
And he goes, cheap digital camera, I'm using $1,000 camcorder, thank you very much. I'm like, a camcorder to take pictures with?
Yeah.
That's like going to McDonald's to lose weight.
Yeah, that's not something you take pictures with.
These supposed reverends and stuff, unless you're sitting there kissing their ass, they won't give you the time of day.
Yeah.
Crazy. Because what they're doing is they're giving bad names to anybody who would actually want to help, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
We kind of keep the religious.
Help anybody?
Yeah, I mean, we in our group, our rule is we are all religious. We all believe in Jesus, and you know that's who we call on and stuff. But we keep that separate, and we let our clients, like if our clients are something else or they're non-nominal or whatever, then we don't. We actually, you know, we don't push that on them. So we kind of try to stay away from that. Actually, the weird thing is when I hear a father or a priest, I mean, it gives you a bad taste in your mouth because there's so many bad ones out there, man, that I stay away from them because I'm afraid they're going to be kooks, man.
Well, yeah, like we had one actually on two of our shows talking about he's been doing this for 2 years and he's already had 30 cases of demonic possession that he's exercised.
What?
And he's seen everything from eyes turning black to levitation to contortion to seven voices coming out of one body and stuff. I'm like, that's everything off the show. What's that show?
That's a load of crap.
Yeah, it really is. We were telling him that Supernatural, that's the show I'm thinking of. Literally everything that he was describing was off one or two episodes of Supernatural. And
man, did you see the episode where they had those ghost hunters? I was like, oh my God, I hope we don't look like that really to everybody else.
Ghost facers,
yeah.
That's why I said I've kind of run out of people because all the people that I've had on the shows in the last 3 years of my other show and this show, I know, you know, and I've either worked with or I know them, so I know that they're not a bunch of kooks. So that's why I'm saying if I start missing people now that I don't know, there's hell in what we're going to get.
Yeah. You know, the only legit person I have come across to this point who really gave us some good information, I've talked to this guy multiple times, it's Brad Kling. That guy is passionate about what he does. He's very scientific. He's open to possibility. That's why the show Ghost Lab went off the air is because they don't create false evidence. Like, you know, so some of the other shows do, they literally just show what they capture. And if they don't capture something, they're not going to make something up. And Brad Kling is a great guy. And you know, it's sad that him and his brother don't investigate together anymore. But
how come?
Yeah, what's his brother's name?
Barry.
Barry. Barry kind of washed his hands of the whole paranormal thing and kind of got burnt out. You can only do something for so long before you're kind of tired of doing it. And Barry's now running his fishing guide business, and he runs a bait and tackle store and a hunting store, I believe, down there in Texas. And, Brad is now doing his YouTube series Curiosity, and I'm excited because I've been talking to him, and he's kind of dropped off the grid because he's doing all of his own editing for the most part.
Oh.
And that's got to be hard with hundreds of hours of filming.
Right, exactly.
Well, we also,
that would be great if we could get him on. Like, could you how often do you talk to him or anything? Do you pay for him to come on your show or?
Oh no. Actually, the reason we got him on our show. I mean, this guy, like, it wasn't really planned or anything like that, but when we had that reverend come on talking about ghosts don't exist, they're either demons or angels, Brad kind of took a stand against that and said, this guy, you know, it's his opinion, but he's really swinging for left field on this one. You know, he's not The gears are turning, but they're not connecting with anything.
Right.
So yeah, he came on to pretty much tell us that everything this Reverend guy said was, you know, ridiculous. But I don't think getting him on a show like anytime soon is going to be possible because of his involvement with Curiosity. And I mean, he's working around the clock. Every once in a while, I'll message him, and we'll have a little conversation here and there. But it's nothing it's not very long. I'm actually excited for when he comes up here to Springfield, Illinois. He said they're coming up to shoot an episode of Curiosity, possibly shoot an episode, and. I'm excited about that to see what he does with that.
We also have on air with us Brian from Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio.
What's going on, Brian?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh man, it's been crazy, but I'm doing.
when you commented on that status of mine. And I kind of joked with you about that, and that kind of made my day when you were like, "Well, I was 33 at the time." that was pretty funny.
I'm trying to remember which one. I've commented so many.
Well, I had said I had talked about holding, you know, being in love and holding your
breath. Oh yeah, You talked about what it's like to be in love and be held, and I was like, yeah. I know how it feels until I got bailed out.
Damn.
Yeah, and I made a joking comment. I was like, well, you can't be keeping her up all night because she's got to get up for high school in the morning.
No, seriously, man. I swear to God, I was 33 and she was 20 at the time. You know, it was awesome. You know, I thought it was an awesome relationship, but apparently, she didn't. She went into the Army and found somebody more of her age, so, you know, all power to her. That's the way it goes.
Why are you quiet,
Guess she didn't like changing the depends. I don't know.
Well, I like that picture that you put up of the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot.
That was actually, I can't take credit for doing that. That was actually, I think M.K. Davis went and did some of that. I think
like a Photoshop face on there.
Well, I think what he did was trace and highlighted a little bit of the details that he could see on there. you know, I think that's for the most part. But there's obviously some altering with the colors because, you know, the her body is brown and her head is black. So, yeah, he did some, I don't know what he did, you know. He enhanced the details, and that's what you get, you know.
So that is really cool. Do you actually see the face like that?
But, I mean, things have been crazy for me. You guys know last week I had Jeff Trapper from Mountain Monsters on my show, and a couple of weeks ago I had shoulder surgery. I'm still suffering from that. And, the other day I was out in the woods and actually caught something on video that is being pretty popular, you know, across the web, being analyzed and, you know.
Yeah. So would you consider that, like, irrefutable evidence?
No. No. I mean, you know, unless I'm there face-to-face with something and it's clear as day, nothing is irrefutable evidence, you know. All I know is I heard some noise, hurry up, turn on the camcorder, and the camcorder caught what I didn't see because, you know, I was fumbling with the camcorder trying to get it on and, you know, get it going. I didn't see it with my own eyes. I didn't even know I caught anything until I got home and reviewed. All I know is I heard a tree knock and some noise in the woods, and you know.
So how come the show Finding Bigfoot doesn't come to your area?
Because I don't want their asses in my area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're a joke. You know, they'll never find a Bigfoot on that show. Too many people out in the woods.
Of course not, because the show would be over then.
Yeah. Too many people out in the woods, and you know, it's I've dealt with DFRO before, and they didn't leave too good of a taste in my mouth, and I'll never have them in my area, sit here raping it, and, you know, monopolizing off of it, exploiting. You know, anything they find. No, sorry. I live too close to the area that I'm having, you know, interaction and encounters with. So, that won't happen.
No, I don't blame you.
The last thing I want to do is get some dumbasses back there messing with them and running them off, you know.
Well, how many do you have back there?
That I don't know. I believe there's a family group. I've seen eyeshine of at least four. In the video that I just caught, there's at least three in it. Some people say they see more. I don't know, you know.
I watched a TV show one time. It was kind of, I don't think it was really Bigfoot, but they said that Bigfoot came up and stole their hot dog off a grill. And I think they lived in a trailer, and they said that he shook the shit out of that trailer. I'm not real sure if they were, you know, legitimate. They had mullets and were missing some teeth, but it was quite amusing for me. I mean, I don't Bigfoot hunt, so I guess he can have a hot dog if he wants one.
Well, I go out there pretty much every night, and, from what you said, if they can't hold on to their wieners a little bit better than that, then I don't put much faith behind them.
I want to fight him if he tries to take my damn hot dog. I like me some hot dogs.
You know, that would be the first story I've ever heard of a dumbass, toothless redneck losing their food.
I have to say, we went hiking recently, okay? And we were way back. It's like, you gotta go, it's like the Cascades, and I think that's what the hell it's called, isn't that where we went? Yeah, it's a big waterfall, right? But once you get back in there, I swear to goodness, we start hearing some clicking and some throwing of pebbles. I was like, damn, man, we gotta get the hell out of here. There's some Bigfoots in here. And we laughed it off, right? But y'all probably would love this area. There's nothing back there. There's,
oh, no doubt.
You gotta hike all the way back in there. We are not Bigfoot enthusiasts. I can't even talk tonight. We ain't Bigfoot lovers. Just because,
she's like,
I mean,
we ain't Bigfoot. Bless her heart.
I'm giving it all I got here, man, okay? It's coming through very country and southern and not great, but I'm giving it.
So, Missy, you're not a fan of the Woodbugger?
Oh, now, the Woodbugger. I can't even say. Listen, Ashley, you take over. I can't even talk. What are we? Oh, the Woodbugger.
She's all flustered.
If anybody doesn't know this, in Virginia, there's a lot of people that, certain parts of Virginia, they refer to Bigfoot as the Woodbugger. But if you actually Google what Woodbugger is, it's not a Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's local slang.
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
You know what?
Yeah, I've said this a million times before. You know, the only thing I could say, you know, to people who don't believe is just get out there and see. You know, get out there in the middle of the woods at night and just sit down and listen.
See, I'm excited. Yeah. Like I'm a believer in the creature and everything, and I would love to go out in the woods sometime. Actually, you know, I think I said this on the anniversary show. I found Bigfoot tracks in my in our city park, back by where it goes into a cornfield, and I also found some bedding area, and I haven't been back there lately, but I'm waiting for a good rain.
I mean, it's very possible if it's a remote area, you know.
Well, it kind of goes out the back side of our town.
Actual city.
Yeah,
but it goes into forest, right?
Well, it's a huge park. I don't know what the acreage is, but the back side of it, there's nothing but cornfields, and there's a lot of deer. You can just go back there and see all the deer, and
If there's deer, then, you know, there's a good chance, you know, deer can exist back there or other large wildlife, then, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. There's so many different corridors of woods that these things can take. You know, I'm not saying they're going to walk into your city and stand on the corner like a $5 hooker, but, you know, I do believe that at certain points in time they will come close to civilization.
Well,
what are your traditional signs of this is a good place to search for Bigfoot?
I'm sorry, what?
What is your traditional signs that this is a good place to look for Bigfoot?
The woods.
It's like Bubble says.
No.
I like it better.
I mean,
you
never know until you get out there. That's the main thing. You know, you can't go out to area like on Finding Bigfoot. Oh, there's a tree. Yeah, there's definitely Bigfoot here. No, it doesn't work like that. That show's a joke. You know, you just got to go out there. If you suspect, if you see a lot of nice-sized trails, tree branches broke real high up. You can also see tree breaks. You can see tree structures. There's a lot of different signs to look for, but you know, more than anything, is to go if you suspect that there might be one in an area, just go out there at night and listen, sit and listen. And if there's not, you're not going to hear anything. If there is, you'll definitely hear it. There's no telltale signs, you know. Now, if you find a footprint, you know, if you find a series of footprints, then you know, obviously, hell, you know.
Ashley and Missy, I'm sitting smack dab in the highest concentration of Bigfoot sightings in the whole state of Texas. My area, around where I live, and within an hour and a half, 2 hours, is flooded with Bigfoot sightings. And that comes from other Bigfoot hunters. I mean, Brian knows, you know, he's friends with a group over here in Northeast Texas. About an hour from me, and they got spots they go to. And Tim Gerhardt, who's a reputable cryptozoologist. He tells me all the time most of the calls he gets is from my area.
Yeah, I mean, over there in Northeast, I mean, that's actually, you know, the heart of my team. I'm trying to get a team developed here, but for now it's just me. So, you know, I'm going out there by myself at night. But, yeah, they're all over that area, and they also go over to Boggy Creek, South Arkansas. And you mentioned Ken Gerhardt. Lyle Blackburn is another one over there in that area. He's actually going to be on my show this week.
I got a question. You said there's a family living out back around where you're at.
Yeah, that's the only conclusion I can make, you know.
How long have you been noticing it?
Oh man, I've been here for 7 years and I've been walking back there pretty regularly during the day, of course, during a 7 year period, and probably about, I want to say about 5, maybe 6 years ago, I actually had, this was before I had got the family dog and all, I'd actually had one jump out of a tree at the edge of my property and had footprints and all, and that's when I had dealings with the BFRO. They actually came here, investigated, and I'm not going to get into the whole details of it, but it didn't go very well with me. So, you know, after that, you know, I would go out in the woods, and it was probably about maybe a year or so after that, me and my girlfriend's daughter was walking around out in the woods, and we actually heard similar to what they considered a samurai chatter. We heard that coming from a ravine, knowing that we were the only ones out there. And that piqued my interest a little bit. And, you know, I tried to pay attention to all these websites and blogs and this and that and BFRO and this and that. And, you know, I just got so tired of it. I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. You know, I'm not going to – why take what I know and what I've been experiencing and hand it over to someone else? You know, I'm just going to get out there and start doing it myself and form my own team and – you know, that's kind of how it started, and that's where it went. That's where it took off. You know, I've gotten audios of them having conversations, howls, tree knocks, all the stuff, you know, posted over on my website. And what's ironic is since then, these certain people that were with the BFRO that came and investigated me before, all of a sudden they're popping out of the woodworks. Hey, do you remember us? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I remember you. What do you want? You know?
Yeah, well, if they've been there that long, I thought they were nomadic creatures.
For the most part, they are. I believe that as long as the food supply is there and they have a good, safe area and good, safe places to go, say, like during hunting season, that there's no – I don't believe in the whole migratory Sasquatch. I believe that they stick to a certain radius, if you will, you know, that they call home. And I think a lot, very much like pride of lions, when they have males, they'll eventually go off on their own. And I'm thinking that more chances than not, that's what people are seeing when they try to claim that they're nomadic. You know, they're going to go where the food is. And, you know, if you've got food that never goes anywhere, deer, or, you know, in my area, deer, then you don't need to go anywhere either, you know? Whereas over on the West Coast, you know, they have the elk herds that travel a lot. So I can see where they would have to move around a lot then. It all depends on territory, I believe, and what the food is doing in that particular territory. But, I mean, I've had different times of the year, I've had different occurrences. You know, the best time is spring and fall. Now, here lately, I've been getting a lot. This is the first time in the summertime I've actually got a lot of activity. So, you know, it all depends. I think when the wintertime, when hunting season starts up, just like the deer, they move. They go to different, you know, spots where they know it's, you know, safe. Deer do the same thing. You know, I can go to a hunting area that I frequent and see 20 deer right now in the summertime. Wintertime, I'm out there in a deer stand. I don't see a single one. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think I think it's, hunting season's the same time every year. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out when that's coming and when it is.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool. Actually, I'm going to post this on your wall. I'm going to post a picture of the footprints that I found. And I'm going to send that to you. Just, I mean, you're the, you know, you're more of an expert than I am on this whole thing. I'm just kind of an enthusiast.
Well,
but,
post it over there into my group, the Onyx Knights Paranormal Cryptic, because you're a member there, and I mean, believe me, there's ever a lot more experts there than just me, you know.
Yeah. Well,
and,
yeah,
you know,
I'll do
we'll
that.
Take a look at it. Again, you know, let me rephrase. I don't claim to be an expert. In my opinion, there's no experts when it comes to Sasquatch and cryptozoological creatures. You know, you can be an expert in certain aspects of it, like the footprints, but you're really not a 100% expert because you don't have a body. Yeah, you know? you're not sitting there. You don't have one case. For example, like in a zoo or like Jane Goodall with the gorillas, you're not sitting there amongst them, watching them, monitoring them, knowing their every movement and behavior. So, you know, until that happens, there are no experts. You know, a lot of it's mostly speculation at this point.
Yeah.
Now, I hope that makes sense. I hope you understand what I was trying to say there.
Yeah.
And people say that all the time, and I don't claim to be an expert, you know, maybe a researcher or an enthusiast, but definitely not an expert. You know, and until we have a body, whether it be dead or alive, alive would be, you know, better because you can learn more from something watching it in its natural habitat and seeing how it reacts to surrounding conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Until that happens, there are no experts, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I tried to, I still got to go back and listen to the rest of it. I listened to about half of your show, Brian, with Trapper and Jeff.
It was a blast. It was a blast.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I didn't get to listen to all of it, and, you know, I watch that show religiously as well, but there's still questions in my mind, just like I am in the paranormal, you know, that kind of that skepticism that I have about any TV show. Did you cover about, you know, how they always build traps for each one of their expeditions?
Yeah.
And it seems like every time they get foiled, either they capture something and it breaks out, or it figures out it's a trap and destroys it or moves around it.
Even Trapper, you know, Trapper and I discussed it on my show. You know, you can't go out there. You can't expect to go out there and make all kind of noise and build a trap and not alert the thing that you're trying to capture to your presence. It's just, it doesn't happen like that. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, we got to keep in mind, it's a television show. You know, that's bottom line, it's a television show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, take it for what it is. Is it fun? Is it entertaining? It's very much fun and very entertaining. and the guys are, you know, they're friends of mine. They're really good, honest, caring people.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a good thing. That's why I like it, because of the way that they are as people, you know?
I think they have a better chance of capturing and showing something than the Finding Bigfoot crew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I never even thought about that. You put that to my attention, you know, because when they build the traps, they actually build it out there in the woods.
Sometimes they'll build it off location and
right.
You know, bring it in.
Right, but you know, when you're doing it, especially and not everything they went after was like a Bigfoot, right? You know, there's different kind of creatures. But if they have any kind of intelligence, and you're out there making noise like you said, or setting it up, and they might be watching the whole damn thing going.
That's exactly the point, and there's a 90% chance that, especially with a Sasquatch, that's exactly what they're doing, watching you the whole time.
Yeah, you know, the season finale of that, which I found real interesting, is I'm from Ohio.
That was an awesome show. That was a great show.
I'm from Ohio, and where the Ohio Grass Monster is within an hour of where I grew up.
Well, wow.
Yeah, because I called my mom. I saw towards the beginning of the episode they were driving out to the location, and it said on the street, it said on a road sign, it said leaving Athens County, entering whatever the name of that county is. It starts with a P.
Yeah.
But yeah, I called my mom and I said, "Hey, is that county right next to where I grew up and where y'all are from?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's only like an hour north of us." I was like, "Holy crap." I said, "Did y'all ever hear the Ohio Grass Monster?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's a Bigfoot, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah." Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. You guys, you know, you should try to get back up there sometime and just do a little, you know.
I don't know if I want to go up there. That stuff is pretty aggressive.
Well, you know, that's what I heard. In fact, Trapper and I talked about that also, the fact that it was a little bit more aggressive than most normal Sasquatch. But, you know, I look at it like this. If you're running down chasing after something, it's going to get aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's either fight or flight. And of course, that's what they're doing, is they're chasing it, trying to capture it. You know, I go out there and I just sit and let whatever happens happen. Let them come to me. And let me tell you something. I've had roars real close to me. I've had trees shaking real close to me. I've had branches breaking, branches thrown, and just stood my ground. And never was in fear, really, of my life. You know, I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, you can throw a stick at me and miss me. You know, you can break a branch in the woods. You know, you can shake a tree. Yeah. But you can roar from 50 yards away. But never once did I hear or feel anything trying to charge me or come at me. Or I was never in fear for my life, if that makes sense.
Right. You know, that's interesting, because my good buddy, he's got a Bigfoot group down in Conroe, Texas. And
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I don't know why that's doing that. I was saying my good friend Brandon Garrett, who I'm actually talking to right now on Facebook, he's got a Bigfoot team down in Conroe, Texas, just north of Houston, and they go out all the time. And I asked him, I said, so, because he's been inviting me. In fact, he's invited me to go down there one weekend with him and some of his team. And I said, hell yeah.
Right.
But I asked him the same thing. I said, so what do you do? And he... Well, if I can get my phone and quit making noise... Hearing that noise?
I'm hearing like a whistling sound, and you're kind of cutting in and out.
But anyway, technical difficulties, everyone.
Did you just bang your phone?
No, I banged this Bluetooth thing I'm using.
Oh,
there,
okay.
I got quiet. See, the banging worked.
That always helps. That always fixes it.
Hey, I fixed it. He does the same thing you were talking about. They sit, you know, they might walk around during the day, see if they can find structures or prints or whatnot. But because I asked him, I said, what do y'all do? And he said, we don't do calls. We don't do any of that crap on finding Bigfoot. He said, we pretty much set up.
He is 100% exactly right.
Yeah.
He is 100%. Every time I've tried those calls, I tried that shit. You know, when I first started, that you see on Finding Bigfoot, it doesn't work. It makes them shut up. They just disappear if you do that. So he's right.
Yeah, and I asked him, "What are y'all doing?" And he said, "Well, some of the time we might be out there fishing. We just act, you know, we just do normal things campers would." And he said, "They come to us. You know,
that's right." I could barely understand anything you're saying, but here's what I've discovered in my going out there and doing the research and everything. Tree knocks are their way of letting each other know that there's a human in the area. It's their way of saying there's a human in the area, everybody lay low. And they'll do their howls after I leave their area. It's always, they never howl when I'm there. It's always when I get about a quarter mile or half a mile away that they'll start doing their howls. And I'm kind of leaning towards that might be everything's all clear, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know
yeah,
the tree knocks are to let each other know that there's a human around.
Well, hey guys, I gotta hop off here. I gotta do some laundry and clean up the house before my girlfriend kicks my ass when she gets home.
Oh,
so,
look at that.
I know.
Hey, that's
it's okay
that's,
to be
hey,
wolf.
That's what you gotta,
it's okay.
That's what you, hey, that is the price for being able to wake up holding her, like you.
Oh my
about.
God.
You gotta pay that toll, buddy.
Oh, my
That's
Lord.
Right.
Isn't this how men really talk?
No. We're actually censoring it because there's a woman in the area.
Oh,
it's,
in the
it's
area.
Like, yeah. We'll let out a howl when we know that it's all clear.
That was going to be my question, by the way, about Bigfoot. Like, you know, we don't handle that Bigfoot stuff, but have you ever tried to take a lady out there and put her in the woods? Maybe at a
well,
certain
you know,
time of the month. Maybe I'm
morbid,
but I was thinking, you know.
Well, I know that, you know, I've heard that to attract deer during the rut, you know, take a, and this is going to sound so gross, take a used maxi pad or tampon out there with you in the air to a tree.
Right. But I haven't,
and I don't know if I want to just yet get them. You know, I don't want to have a horny Bigfoot charging at me. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly
but,
why we don't go in the damn woods, okay? The Bigfoot,
right. well,
horny,
well, the
I'm kind of hairy, you know?
Here's you don't have that old 70s thing going on, do you?
In every way, my friend.
Yeah.
No,
so,
just saying.
So you know what?
All right, Joe.
The other day I caught the video and...
Have a good night, man.
Yeah.
I know you had to get off.
Yeah. Y'all have a good night. Have fun.
You All have
right,
fun
Ron,
doing dishes
you,
and cleaning up for your lady.
Let me tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to her approval when I get home.
I hear you.
Oh, isn't that so
I
nice?
You.
I think well, I have
that,
more testosterone
that also,
than you do, my son, but that's okay.
That was also man, a little bit of man code going on there. I feel you, Ron. I know what you're talking about, buddy.
maybe I'll get my birthday treat a year early.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh. Trust me,
hey.
If she don't give treats but on your birthday, you sure as fuck ain't getting it tonight.
Maybe you'll get your own wood knock.
That's what I'm thinking. Why you're in that bathroom cleaning, help yourself out, buddy. Fuck it.
All right, Joe, take it easy.
All right, bro. You know, as I was saying the other day when I caught the video, which seems to be a family group, the next night I went out there with my family, you know, my 4-year-old little girl, my girlfriend and her daughter, and we went walking out there, and they heard some whistles and a tree knock, and, you know, I left my audio out there. I still have to review it, but we came back home, and last night I didn't go out there, and I was sitting on my porch probably about 1 or 2 in the morning, and I can hear them howling from back there, almost as if they were trying to get my attention and get me back there. So, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that, you know, they did, because we had the whistles and we had the tree knocks when I was out there with my family. So I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that they did see me with my family out there, and then last night didn't see me at all, so was probably wondering where I was. That's, again, that's all speculation, but that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Mm-hmm. And I took my family with me intentionally, you know, to show them, after catching the video of them, to show them that, hey, you know, I have a family too, you know?
Right. Actually, okay, I joke about Bigfoot and stuff like that, but we were talking about it the other day. I think they are very highly intelligent. Because,
oh, of course.
I mean, you can go down the road and, let's say, a bunny or something, you're going to see them. And they live in the woods and things like that. But Bigfoot has adapted to where he can actually stay on the outskirts. We've never got a body. I mean, people have claimed, and they've all been fake and this and that and other.
Well, you got to think that they're hairy and they're dark colored. And I've done this before. I do it just to see if I can do it.
Right.
I'll be out there, and a car will be passing, and I'll go and just squat down. You know, I'll be wearing dark clothes, of course, and I'll go and just squat down and just not even look at the headlights. And these vehicles pass right by me, never even know seeing me or knowing I'm there. So it's very easy to do.
Yeah, but their thinking has to be on a different level. Like, let's take a bear, for instance. We see those, you know? But that's why I think they're highly intelligent, because they're thinking, if they're thinking like you as a man, then, yeah, they can skirt around it. And then we'll get the occurrences of, you know, you get the tracks. You get occasionally this and that and the other that people, it seems that we don't get the legit all the way, here's my friend Bigfoot. So I'm thinking that they're more on our level than we actually think. But that's just my theory. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, here's something else for you. I've been in the woods. Are you there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought I might have disconnected from you guys. I've been in the woods most of my life, and I've never in my life seen a bear in the wild. But yet,
really?
I've been places. That's true. That's absolutely true. I've
you
been places
come to
where
Virginia,
I,
my friend.
Well, I actually used to live in Virginia. I lived in Newport News near Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been in the woods all my life. I've never seen a bear in the wild. And I've been in places where there's known to be bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any time I've ever seen a bear was either in captivity or one dead, you know, on the side of the road from a car. I've never seen a dead bear in the woods that died of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a dead coyote in the woods that has died of natural causes. You know, a lot of
well,
people
you know
wonder, how come we don't find Bigfoot bones, you know? Well, hell,
right.
How come I don't find coyote bones in the woods? I know there's hundreds of those everywhere.
Right. And the bear thing does make sense. We see a lot of bears here, but we're in the mountains. We're in the country. I mean, we were walking, you know, just taking a walk, and there was one behind a barn. But like I said, we're really in the country. But you make a good point on the fact that I've never seen a carcass, even though I've seen them. You know, I've seen them. Man, they're in the road up here. You got to beat them things over with a stick around here.
Yeah, you must be. Are you in the western part of Virginia?
Yeah, southwest. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's
mm-hmm.
that's what's beneficial here for me is where I live. In theory, according to the wildlife management people, there are no bears. There are no panthers or mountain lions, which I know all that. I know that's bull because, you know, I've seen pictures and videos that people have taken of mountain lions in this area.
Right.
But for the most part, they're few and far between. And the only real thing that I have to worry about when I'm out there is coyotes. So, and Sasquatch, of course. So I'm, you know, I go out there. People are like, "You don't bring a gun?" No, I don't bring a gun out there with me. You know, the same thing that's out there during the night, that's out there during the day. You know, you might not see it during the day, but you can bet your ass it knows you're in those woods. So, you know, I don't carry a gun out there with me during the day. I'm not going to carry one out there with me at night. And I've just never felt the need to.
When I was really young, maybe this is where the Bigfoot thing comes from, but my granddaddy, you know, well, where we grew up and stuff, it was like 100 acres or whatever, right? And it was like halfway up a mountain. And so far up that there was, my mom, when she was young, used to go way back in there, and there was like some, you know, waterfalls and stuff like that. Well, one day when we were young, we decided to, well, you know, me and my sister was younger, we decided to hike back up in there. And when we got way back in there, I'm talking about like, I mean, you know, it's starting to, you know, if you don't head back, then it's going to get dark by the time you get back out, you know. And I remember when we were young, we could hear stuff like the knocks and things like that, and being so scared. And my mom was like, "Okay, we need to go because something's in here that we're not normally around." And we were coming back out, my dad had came in the woods, and we met him like halfway going out. My mom was dead set against, "Oh, it was you, blah, blah, blah." And he was like, "No, I couldn't have got in front of y'all to do that and then come back." So I think that we always hold a little bit of that fear, because there's nothing like being in the woods and having nothing between you and it except opportunity and air. And I just remember my mom was like, "We need to go." And now you hear more about that. You hear more about the knocks and the grunts and this and that and the other. But back then we knew nothing about that. And it was nothing like a bear. So I think that's where we're like, okay, we're going to leave Bigfoot alone.
Well, you know, the one thing that I tell people is don't run. I mean, it's just like any other predatory animal, don't run. When you run, you become prey and their natural instinct kicks in to go after you, if you will. And don't run. I've had these things real close to me, and that's about as far as they've ever got. You know, for the most part, they're going to try to intimidate and scare you out of there by making a lot of noise. You know, I'm trying to think of what other creature, what other animal will do that. But, you know, just think how animals are in general. They'll try to make a lot of noise, huff and puff, get you to leave, and then when you don't, that's when it's really on.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
I just talked to my friend Brandon, and I'm going to go on a Bigfoot hunt next month for a weekend.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. So, yeah, I got to get you on my show after you do.
Well, you know what I'm going to do as well, Brian, is, and there's that noise again. If I can move it. I'm going to take my EVP recorder, and I'm going to tape a two-hour spot as they're doing their thing and showing me the ropes of what they do. I'm going to tape it on my EVP recorder, and I'll have that footage to play on the radio show as well.
No, sweet. That's awesome. See, I thought about doing that. I thought about actually doing a live broadcast out there. But, you know, right now, you know, my show comes on at 8, from 8 to 10, and it's not even really dark yet, 8 o'clock. And I know for sure that, you know, these Sasquatch don't start moving until about 1 in the morning. So, you know.
You could record it anytime you go out there. And then just upload it to the studio and log on to your show that night and play it as a broadcast.
Well, Well, that's what I do already is, you know, I bring my recorder with me when I'm out there, and I sometimes I even leave it out there in certain locations, and that's how I'm getting most of my audio that I'm getting. So, you know, I thought about doing that and, you know, uploading it to the studio and playing a couple of audio clips on the show. In fact, I might do that for this week since I'm going to have Lyle on there.
Yeah.
My main issue is I don't have the software to do to these audio files that what I want to do to them, and that's clean them up really good to where all you hear is, you know, what I want you to hear, the sounds that are there.
Software do you use now?
Right now I'm using Audacity, you know.
Right.
And my thing is I get a lot of crickets and frogs and stuff like that. And it's just trying to eliminate that to where it's only that background howl or that background noise.
Right.
In the wintertime, it'll be a much different story, of course. And I'm anxiously awaiting winter to come because I'm going to get even further back into these woods than I'm capable to do now because of snakes and so forth.
Right.
But, yeah, there. Winter is it's the best time for me. For one, you don't have all the audio contamination from the bugs and so forth, and you don't have to worry about snakes and poison ivy, which I am really allergic to.
Good Lord, I know what you mean.
So, but you know, I'm going to be. I've got so much going on. Casper, with everything, you know, Trapper's going to be back on the show. He actually went through a bad service area and got cut off, and he couldn't come back on. And a lot of the listeners were telling me that they tried calling in and they couldn't get through. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but so anyway, I arranged for him to come back on the show, and that'll be August 21st, and then in April. I'll be filming in the sequel to the Skookum movie. I'll be actually playing a Sasquatch in this sequel. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
When is that? April?
Yeah, next April. I have to get with them. You know, one of the producers wants to start filming in October, and the other one's saying, no, it's still too hot. We need to wait till April. So... right now it's kind of up in the air.
I guess I didn't make the cut because I talked to the lady that did
Hey, I lost you.
Hang on.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
No, the lady that we had on,
Debbie.
Yeah, I told Debbie, you know, I had talked to her all off the air, of course, and I was like, you know, I got experience acting, and I've been in movies, and I'd sure love to be a part of your next movie. And I never heard back, so I guess I didn't make the cut.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's still... I can't speak for her, but I'm sure, you know, it's still not finalized yet. But, yeah, you know, the first movie, Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot, that's coming out, I think, in September, they said. And, you know, one producer wants to start filming in October on the sequel. The other one wants to wait till April, so... I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna try to get them back on my show here pretty soon. I was trying to wait till after the first one came out or right before so we can promote it. But
we also have on hold. He was, you know, when I was making that post earlier today, Brian, and you had commented on Jim Mallard. He had just finished up his radio show. Just 10 minutes ago, and he's in the queue.
so we can bring him on as well. Jim, you there?
I am here. How are you guys tonight?
Just fine. How? Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Yeah, I like to talk, and especially since I've already set up to talk, I figured, throw my name in the hat. What's the worst that can happen for us?
Right? Now, Jim, on your radio show...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just asking, on your radio show, what kind of topics do you cover?
I use the word paranormal in the ultimate sense. I have authors, I have paranormal investigators, I have demonologists, I have I've had musicians on, so I use the word paranormal in the ultimate sense of it.
Cool.
Now I prefer the go ahead. As I say, I prefer the supernatural, spiritual, UFOs, ghosts, demons, that kind of stuff. But every once in a while, I have to get out of it because I have to. So somebody comes along, like.
Well, it's kind of the same
Jim
for me.
I'll
try to get anything I can on the show. Yeah, it's kind of the same for me. I'll try to get anything I can on the show. Right now, it's more soft spots because. That's just what I do and what I'm interested in. But, you know, for me, paranormal is all fields, whether it be aliens, extraterrestrials, ghosts, demons, anything, you know?
Yeah, somebody can hold you in the belt.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Okay. Are you having fun?
Did you? You broke up there, Jim. I didn't hear exactly what you asked.
Well, you didn't hear what?
You started to say something and you kind of broke up, so I didn't get what you said.
Well, I was going to say I clicked as you guys were talking about. I'm not sure which one of it was you were, because I was just kind of deep coming down off my show, but I heard somebody saying they don't carry a gun in the woods because of Bigfoot. Is that what I was catching?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't feel the need to carry a gun in the woods in regards to Bigfoot.
I agree, but if one ever runs in front of my car, I'm going to hit it, though. Just for the record.
Well, look at it like this.
Not
at least,
I'm against the animal of any sort. I just want to have the proof of seeing it, because if I can't get my camera out, I need.
Yeah, at least if you hit it and you get to keep it, you'll have enough money to buy you another car.
Yeah, it's going in the trunk. I'm not telling anybody what it was until after I get home.
if you're able to drive away after that, you know the car will probably be damaged by it or the other three that are in the woods behind it will get to you, you know?
And we're not talking about that. We'll be okay. I'll drive until it blows up.
That'll be the furthest thing from your mind, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what else were you guys talking about before I got here?
We were talking about different things. Brian here, of course, I'm Kevin. I'm the owner of our Blog Talk Network. We get shows 7 days a week. And Brian here, he hosts the show on Thursday. And earlier we had Ryan, who hosts the show on Saturday night, and he was talking about he had a psychic on, a supposed psychic, because, you know, as well as I do in the paranormal field, there's
not everybody is to what they seem to be. You know what I'm saying? Some people will pretend to be something they're not. Others are more gifted. But he was talking about how the site that he had on, he did some things on there. I can't remember what he was talking about, but he read. You know, he's only because that he did more a better job doing the reading than the psychic did.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but it does happen a lot. Where people say they are a psychic, and they just never convince me. But there are some that have erased some doubt, but not all of it. But there are some that make you go, really? You're calling yourself that?
Right.
Like, I can tell you right now you're wearing a shirt.
Oh, shit, you're psychic.
Not me.
You're
wrong,
my business
dude.
Card, please.
Dude, you're wrong. I'm not. You're way off.
You should probably put one on then. Oh, wait, this is radio. You don't have to. Never mind. You're, go ahead.
Jim, what part of the U.S. are you in?
I'm in western Pennsylvania, above Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Well, yeah, y'all got your share of Sasquatch encounters in Pennsylvania as well, man. You got your fair share up there.
Yeah, up, even up north further than I am. Yeah, there's more up there. Up there, Forest County towards the New York state line, there's been a bunch. Not so many. There's been some to the south of me, too, but not, I haven't seen them, so I guess I haven't made the reporting in my area yet.
Now, Jim, do you just do the radio, or do you go out in the field, do you investigate, you know, paranormal, or what?
Yeah, I investigate ghosts, so to speak. I've done some... I haven't actually done a full-blown Bigfoot investigation. I kind of went through the process of what I was looking for if I was out looking for one during the day with somebody, because I had a little time. Just we kind of went back and forth about it as we went for a little walk. I wouldn't call it an investigation by any stretch of the imagination, but the ghosts are my, I don't want to say cup of coffee, but that's where the interest started, but it's kind of went out of control since then.
Right. Now, Brian, I know that you gotta leave, so thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man. Anytime you need any help, just let me know. Yeah, I have to run. I'm in the middle of making a promo for Lyle Blackburn on my show this week.
Cool. All right,
I gotta
man.
Go finish that up.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it. It was nice talking with you guys. Y'all take care.
You too.
Right.
Okay, good night.
Have a good night, buddy.
Bye. Cool. Now, Jim, I've done the paranormal for probably 5 years now. So, I've had my fair share of encounters and strange things that it seems like every time you go on an investigation, you walk out with more questions than answers.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. It seems no matter what answer I find or thing I start to understand, it opens another door.
Yeah. And we were talking about this on my other show, and what people don't realize that are not in the paranormal, it seems like every time we go on an investigation, we encounter a spirit that completely blows our mind, does something or responds away or, you know, even on EVP, and it's just like, well, how in the heck did they do that, you know? It always surprises me because it's never the same thing when you go on an investigation.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story that I have. Went to a case at a private, well, both these stories are about private residential houses, so I guess I should preference by saying that, but there is, one of our team members has been feeling a connection to their father-in-law that had passed away, and So through the course of trying to validate that inner amongst ourselves, I finally said, you know what, it's going to take some great example of this to validate it. I still don't believe it. So we went to this first investigation a few weeks after, you know, because these things don't always line up as they're supposed to. But it was the next investigation, but it was a few weeks later. I forgot about the conversation. And I'm sitting at this private client's home, and I look at her and say, I'm fighting the urge to flip their coffee table over. And she looks at me with that dumb look on her face, like, you know, they're sitting right there, and, you know, we're talking to them. And she looks at me and she says, well, let's do it then. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't just flip these people's coffee table over. They've got stuff, you know, it's got a drawer, they've got stuff on it. I don't think they'd appreciate it. So she says, well, ask them. And, you know, meanwhile, they're in the room. But, you know, we're kind of, you know, talking off to ourselves. And I went over to the homeowner and said, do you mind if I flip your coffee table over? And the face, I wish I would have took a picture of it. It was priceless. But they said, no, go ahead. If you think it'll help you with something, go ahead. So I flip over the coffee table, and sure enough, there's her father-in-law's name wrote in chalk or crayon or whatever it was on the bottom of this table. And I asked them where they got the table from. They got it from a second-hand store, so it must have been a kid practicing writing his name on the bottom of the coffee table. Okay, sure enough. Okay, but it's cool. It is a connection. It is, you know. A month goes by. We go out to another private investigation. And this guy has all these nice antiques and has, you know, this pristine, almost museum-quality stuff around his house. And I go upstairs into this room, and I turn and snap around, and on the little, there's kids' little blocks, and it spells out the father-in-law's name. I proceed to march back down the stairs, yell right at the guy, why do you have that guy's name on those little blocks? And he says, what are you talking about? So I proceed to show him. His son was playing with him a few weeks ago. He didn't pay any attention to him. That's how they were just put back up there. Now, I walked outside after that. And, you know, I was just... She walked out with me, and the rest of the team was still getting set up and all this, you know. They didn't have any clue what was going really on. But I was standing outside of her, and I said, I guess you're right. You have validated it. I'm done looking for it. So it's stuff like that that makes you go, but now, okay, so... These two investigations were probably, goodness, they were probably two of it because of where we're located. The one was like the furthest north we've ever been. The other one was the furthest south we've ever been, a couple hundred miles apart. So there's no, you know, these people didn't know each other, you know us and, you know anything about each other or anything. So for, you know, there's no, the randomness of it is so finite, I think I would have hit the Powerball instead.
Yeah.
The thing, it's not, you know, it's not always EVPs or whatever. It's, there's other things that people can get into.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, that reminds me of a case we did, a private residence, and, of course, it was very, very bad spirits, evil. We actually had to call in a bunch of help. For this particular case, because I'm the type of founder that I know I don't know everything, and there's no experts in this field, and I need as many people with knowledge, people that I trust, I should say, that have knowledge, you know, maybe some more knowledge than I do in certain areas. So, you know, I recognize that. I'm not one of these trying to, my team can fix this problem. No.
Yeah, there's so many people like that. It makes me, my head spin, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, and so I knew we had a horrific case on our hands when I went over there, and I was talking to the clients, and they were showing me around the house, and we'd come through the kitchen into the living area, and, you know, there's a couch up against the wall and a recliner, a little end table and then a recliner. And we walked through there, and we went to the back bedroom where
teenage son is, where a lot of the activities happen. It's all centered around him. Well, they had told me some really crazy stories about, you know, whatever's there is moving furniture and this, that, and other. And I was like, this, you know, I don't know about that one, you know. So we were in there and we heard this, this moving around, you know, like something in another room, like moving stuff, or, you know, we just heard a bunch of movement. I was like, what in the hell is going on in there? Come back out, the recliner and the couch were switched. And I about, if I would have had to take a dump that day, I would have done it right then, because we weren't back there but a couple minutes. And we come back out, and then I, you know, of course, when I saw that, I ran around the house real quick, looking at all the rooms. I ran outside to see if there was anybody trying to screw with me. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else there.
Oh, yeah, because that's...
And there wasn't anybody there. And they were like, what are you doing? I said, I'm making sure there ain't nobody else in this house trying to screw with me. I said, no offense, y'all, I don't know y'all. But, that happened. And, of course, I saw a lot more than that. That was just the tip of the iceberg. But, holy cow. I was just like, how in the heck did they move that stuff? But they did. I saw stuff later that was moved, you know, moved in front of me, right in front of my face. But, of course, they always do stuff like that when you don't have a video camera.
Yeah, I found most of the best activity happened after I put them away.
Yeah. Actually, Missy, have y'all ever had activity happen when, say, either A, your battery drains and you don't have any, you know, your video camera shuts off, or you put it on pause for a second, or y'all are taking a break, but for some reason or another you don't have a video camera to document something and something happens when you don't have the camera?
Cameras to start with. So, yeah, so it happens a lot. It's always pointed the wrong direction or... it's a misadventure sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine that he was at Waverly Hills, and I think he was on the third floor, and they were videoing. They were sitting on the floor, and they were just looking down the hall. And of course, a lot of stuff was going on, and they were hearing things. And he stood and pointed his camera down there, and this big ball of energy floated down the hallway and got right up in front of the camera. And it was like something he had never seen before. And it was pulsating and whatnot. And it wasn't an orb. It was way bigger. He said it was as big as a basketball. And, you know, him and his friend were just, they didn't know what to do. They were just frozen by what they were seeing. So, and then it disappeared. It kind of just, you know, faded away right there in front of them. Well, they got the video camera, and they were looking at it on video, and the camera picked at it, you know, whatnot. So, like, oh, hell yeah, we got a great piece of evidence. So then he thought he had fast-forwarded back to where they had fast-forwarded, but he could, you know, continue recording. And so they finished the night, they got home, and the deputy actually had the fast-forwarded, and he taped over that evidence.
You sang it time, too. To get yourself to believe it or get others to believe it. It's just...
Right. What are some of the what locations have you been to that you've had good paranormal experiences? You know, either EVPs or whatnot.
Well, truthfully, here's the problem. This is probably why I don't do too many interviews, because I have never paid to investigate anywhere. And the only place that I've investigated that somebody else paid for me to investigate that people have heard of is Hillview Manor, because Zach Vegans has been there. So,
mm-hmm.
I have I have found that residents near water, whether it be a stream or a lake, are more active, I guess that's kind of air-quoted, than places that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So but that's what. I'm, people always throw that energy theory out. Maybe it's the static noise of the water running. I'm not sure which way that goes, but I guess there's something in there somewhere on the line.
Yeah, definitely. Ashley, you still there?
Yep.
Y'all quiet.
I know, we're just taking all this in, man. I agree with the water theory, by the way. And the more pollution in the water, it seems to be more of a conductor. Just a theory, you know, that's out there. But it seems like if it's a big river and it's more polluted, it gives them more of a conductor in there, and then you seem to get more activity off of it. I agree with that completely.
What's not encouraging people to pollute water? What's not encouraging people to pollute the water, though? What's not encouraging people to pollute the water?
Oh, no, no, no. Just normal pollutants, like normal things that would be in it. You know, it just seems that way. Also, if you look back on any references in old things, such as even Bibles and things like that, or holy water, water seems to be a lot of theories from way back when, like, you know, crossing the river, you know, Styx or whatever to get to the, it's just constantly in old myths and stuff like that. And I think that rooted deep down into that, I think that there is something to that in the paranormal. But that's just, like you said, that's theories. But I agree with that completely.
Well, it got quiet.
I know. I thought everybody left. Hello?
I'm not sure when I'm supposed to jump. That's the thing. I'm so used to, because like I just got done doing my show, so, it, you know, I just follow up with my own question, but I'm...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not sure if I want to ask and answer my question.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, to me, I'll have to say majority of the evidence that I've collected that is very compelling has all been residential cases. I've gotten a lot more, now not all of them, but there's a few that were very, very active cases, and I got a lot of evidence from it. And, you know, going and paying money to go to a location, I hardly do that anymore. I did that in the beginning because it was kind of cool and hip and new to, you know, oh, let's go to this location. Everybody's been there, that, this, that, and other. Now I'm kind of like, I try to get into places that may or may not ever have been haunted. I know I investigated a hotel in a neighboring town. No paranormal investigators had ever been in there. And I got the owner to let me in, and it was a 7-story hotel that's closed. And I'll tell you what, that place is active as all get out. And I got a lot of EVPs from there and a lot of different activities. So going to undiscovered places is a real passion of mine now.
Yeah, that's yeah. Really neat. We've been really blessed that we've volunteered at a lot of places. We do pay. And that's the cool thing with the paranormal. There's so many different aspects and places that you can go with this. You can do residential. You can do historic places. You can do the, you know, pay in to go and stuff. The cool thing that we realized in the beginning and we're blessed to be able to do is a lot of times if we volunteer our time, sometimes they'll be like, hey, y'all guys want to investigate, or if you help us, we'll help you. So that was really neat. We got to go and help out with some great places, you know, and also while you're there, that doesn't mean that the activity isn't going on also. So it's really neat. I mean, I agree with that. Getting right down in there and getting to those locations nobody's got to or even think might be haunted, I mean, that's, I like that. That's like unexplored, you know, but we tend to like the big places too just because we like the whole lockdown, the whole you're in there, nobody else can tamper and all that stuff. We like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead, Jim.
Sorry, I'm talking to myself. I just kind of deleted something I just typed. That was fun. Anyway. No, I was going to say, I think there it's a good thing, especially you were mentioning going to volunteer places, to have that understanding and connection with people, even though they're dead, that still shows goodwill.
Yeah.
To the people that are there, living or dead.
Right. Now, I'll throw this out there to you, Jim, see what your comment is on this or theory. You know, I've been doing this for a good while on the radio and talked to a lot of people in the paranormal community. And, you know, I always ask them, and I said, you know, there's got to be a point in your paranormal career where you're tired of going in and conducting an EVP session and just asking the generic questions, you know. How did you die? What is your name? You know, why aren't you here? Those type of things. I said, have you ever considered asking spirits what is going on where they're at? What do they see? You know, those kind of things. Those are really the answers and the questions that we should be asking because those are the answers we want to know. We want to know more knowledge about what happens when we leave our physical body, you know? So why don't you ask the spirits themselves?
Yeah, I have found the best PVPs come when I'm just doing my radio show stick, so to speak, and thinking randomly about whatever because I am the investigation. I hate to admit it, but there are times, especially when you're sitting around in the dark for hours, to kind of, at least I start to ramble about random things. And my wife doesn't like it when she goes back to listen to the EVPs, but that's where most of them come from when we're talking about our kids or a movie or some, whatever random stupid thing pops in my mind.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. You know, because it gets kind of boring and very, very boring and repetitive a lot of times. If there's something going on, you know, and I sometimes listen after a bunch of busy people. So we start joking around, doing this and her, laughing, talking about whatever, and it seems like when that happens, that's when we start getting even deep. Because that says someone can interject in a conversation, a comment on something. And, you know, they don't like trying to answer direct questions a lot of time. They just like to be let, you know, you do your thing and we're going to talk to you, you know?
Well, that's the thing about most people, though. Even you don't like answering direct questions most of the time. You tend to like the open-end questions so you can take it where you want to go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, you know? What gets me is what always gets me, and it makes me laugh and smile a lot, is when you get EVP from a spirit that has a sense of humor, and they're either A, making fun of somebody that is out there investigating, or they comment on something. I know one of my team members, they sit and ate tacos before they came to the investigation. So they passed a lot of gas, and we got an EVP right after that of a spirit going, ooh.
And context helps you a lot, making sure it's an EVP. I mean, that's a horrible example of context, but it is nevertheless.
But. Now,
I actually got an EVP one time at this, it's actually the Avenel, in Bedford, Virginia, and me and this other girl, well, the other founder of our group, we were sitting talking about the Army, and we're all grouped. Everyone in our group is girls, and we actually got a guy saying, hey, and it was just different that we weren't asking questions. It's just regular stuff. And you really think about it, that you're actually going in a located or an isolated area, and you're hoping someone's there, and you're hoping someone wants to talk to you, when it's just like everyday activities. If someone's going to ask you what color you like 500 times, you're going to get tired of answering what color you like. And then if you have someone cutting up and actually having a good conversation, you'd be more willing to add in on that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's easier for somebody to ask a very loose general question than trying to get a very specific answer. Especially,
yeah.
Here's my point and example about all of this. You never ask a woman her age, right?
Yeah, or her weight, you know.
So why do people keep asking, how old are you? When were you born? When did you die? Would you do that to your wife now, live on the air? No, you wouldn't ask those kind of questions to your spouse. So, you know.
Well, I've even asked questions on EVP sessions of, depending on where we're at, historical values. Say you're in a, you know, mid-1800 house. And there's activity. So there possibly could be civil war or whatnot there. I'll say, so what do you think of the civil war? What did you think of Abraham Lincoln? And I've actually gotten answers, you know, depending on the history that I have. And they make comments. You know, they like those kind of questions. When you ask them their opinion on something historical that may have happened while they were alive.
Well, yeah, you got to think about Ghost Host radio show hosts. They want to talk about things that matter to them.
Yeah.
Maybe I should write a book about
that. Investigating as a radio show host.
Yeah, talk to ghosts like you're talking to a radio host, and you'll get more easy people. Well, good. That'll get me in trouble somewhere on the line.
Oh. Now, what kind of equipment do you like using? Do you like just the straight old EVP recorder, or is there any particular thing you like trying to use?
You'll love this. The only time I've ever heard Ethan speaking of being a radio guy, we did a live investigation with the local radio station here a couple years ago. And I often don't hear EVPs at all because of the frequency I hear at, whatever. But we were standing in the radio studio with the guy reviewing the findings that the other team members had, and I heard them coming through his headphones. And I said, do you think we can borrow this setup so I can hear more EVPs? And he kind of looked at me with the most blank stare ever, but everybody remembers I wasn't. When I investigate, I love my camera. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I've been setting it down more, and it has a mode where it takes a picture every minute or so, whatever it is. So I've been doing that. And so it's kind of taken my favorite toy out of my hands, but it's given us better, I don't want to say better evidence, but it gives us the opportunity for better evidence because there's always the next frame that happened. I think I want to say a minute. I don't remember how upset, but it takes a lot of pictures on an investigation of the same thing. So it's kind of like video, but less tedious to review.
Right. You know, when we do some of the investigations we do, we set up our DVR system with our IR cameras, and we got some full-spectrum cameras as well, and we actually, what really brought my attention to it was we were setting up, and of course I didn't know this till later when I went over the evidence, but during setup, of course, we got EVP recorders running, and when I was setting up some cameras, my recorder picked up two spirit voices talking to each other, and one said, "Where's the camera?" And then you hear another voice say, "It's over there." And the first spirit goes, okay, I'm out of here. And when I heard that, I was like, damn, you know, they know where the cameras are. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, how many times has a lot of investigators really picked up some really great video footage of a spirit?
It's been all the recorders, the people, or all the video hours the people have recorded.
Yeah. You know, and we asked the spirit one time, can you see the light? And in the EVP recorder, we got a Class A response of yes. So I'm wondering if they can actually see.
And this all goes back to, we got to remember, I think of the Amish. I mean, being from Pennsylvania and Western Pennsylvania, I have some around me who don't want their picture taken just because of their religious beliefs. So, I mean, if they didn't want to do it while they were alive, something tells me they're not going to do it when they're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, go ahead.
As I say, how many people in their lifetime, and you talk about Lincoln, never had their picture taken? I mean, this is a fairly new phenomenon for people, so.
Well, that, and I think sometimes we underestimate spirits, you know. For some reason we think because, I should reword it. We lose track of the fact that who we're talking to was once alive. They're human beings, so they have, for the most part, not saying everybody is, because there's a lot of people that don't have common sense that we've all run into in our lives. But for the most part, they know stuff like that. They're like, oh, you know, well, depending on what time period you're from. But even that, if they see some crazy apparatus you're setting up, and they're from the 1700s or whatnot, they're really not going to try to get around it because they don't understand it, so they're going to avoid it.
Yep. I would. If I didn't understand something that kind of seemed evil or weird to me, I'd be avoiding it too.
Yeah. And, you know, in the last year, we've done things where we don't even run video. We would just do audio, run some EVP recorders, and see if we get more activity that way. And it always seems like, and we've done investigations where the first half of the investigation we'll run video, and then we'll stop and I'll announce to whatever's there, hey, we're shutting down everything. You know, we're not going to be videoing or taking pictures. You know, we're getting your hash back or location back, and for some reason, activity starts picking up. Now, you know, I can't say there's a correlation there because I haven't done it enough and documented enough like you're supposed to in order for it to be valid evidence, but I have been noticing that when we do it, we get more evidence.
Yeah, there's something to it. I mean, we did a spiritual night where we didn't investigate with anything that had a battery or a power source. It was kind of fun. It seemed more active than not, and I think there is something to that.
Yeah. That might be something, actually, Misty, you might want to try sometime, is do part of your investigation with video and part of it without, and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there is very little that's on video that I would say is something. So usually when I set up the video camera, it's to tape ourselves in case we, like, unknowingly make a noise that might be fake, like, not fake, but thought of as an EVP. So that's really what I use it for. If we catch something on the camera, then that's great. But I know that's a very little chance that's going to happen.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you might even try, even for an hour, shut all those down just to see if you get more activity around you.
We we had an investigation one time that it was kind of like that. It was the craziest thing. Like, all of our batteries died at one time on every camcorder we had. And then we noticed it was like, okay, fine, let's just roll this. You know, we got our recorders, and we're just going to do, you know, let's try to put out some flashlights and stuff. And we understand that the heat and the cold and things like that make them go on and off. So what we try to do is we do two or three of them. We have different colors, and we say, okay, this color, that color, and we tell the different time, you know, just try to get a baseline of this was for yes, this is for no, all that kind of stuff. And the thing is it would not do anything while those recorders, the video was on. But as soon as they died, they knew there wasn't any recorders on them, like video on them, you would not believe the activity that we got. And it was so freaky. We were like, man, I can't believe this. And it was like they knew. They knew that the cameras were on them and they weren't going to do anything. But as soon as they died, then they were able to. So the next time we went into that location, we acted like everything was dead. We were like, okay, man, let's see if we could really get them. And it was kind of cool, you know, to actually sit there and watch all this happening. I mean, we could even see, like, a dark shadow go behind the flashlights. I mean, it was just, like, on point. We were excited but didn't have one thing of video to show for it. And that, I mean, man, I could have kicked myself because we didn't. But, you know, that's the way they wanted it that night. There was nothing else we could do, you know.
That's how it is, though. You're in their arena, even if it is your place. You have to cater to them if you want them to talk to you. Just
right,
like if you come
exactly.
to my house, you better bring something to eat.
So this is the thing is, so as an investigator, would you rather have the experience or would you rather have the evidence?
Well, I've had the experience, so I'd rather have the evidence at this point.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
Even without evidence, nothing is going to change my mind.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm more of, I really could care less if I get the latest and greatest evidence now, because I've had my fair share of great evidence, but
right.
I'm to the point now in my paranormal journey that I want to, whether or not I'm documenting it is not even on my mind. It's more of trying to understand it more, experience things that maybe I missed out on because of I got all these gadgets set up everywhere and this, that, and other. And I kind of want to put myself more into what a client experiences, because they're not walking around with all this technology or trying to communicate. And I want to see what our clients, you know, have to deal with on a daily basis a lot of time, because, you know, there's where a lot of the paranormal activity is really going on. And, you know, you got to go in there and try to figure out what's going on and the proper course of action, you know, because there's no set formula. Every residential is different. You got different people that live there. They got a different family makeup, and, you know, and the spirit there is always doing something, you know, whether it's a good spirit, bad spirit, inhuman or not. And so, I don't know, I'm kind of going on more of a journey myself now, you know, whether I find the answers or not. We're never going to find every answer until it's our turn to cross over. So, but.
Right.
But yeah.
See, that's what, like, we have a page, and it's called Women Who Investigate the Paranormal. One time there was a discussion on there about, I'm not for sure what, but a lady came on and she said, why don't you try one time just going into an investigation with nothing, just yourself, and conduct an investigation just as if you had equipment, and then see how it goes for you. Just use your senses. And, you know, I've never done that because I'm more of the wanting the evidence kind of investigator. But I have seen people who all they've done is brought, like, I don't know, some of them bring pendulums, some of them just come by themselves, and they don't have anything. They just experience the investigation. And I think maybe one time that would be liberating, you know, just to see what you use your senses, you know?
Yeah, I want to do it all the time, but I would encourage you to do it once. Even if you do it, my group has these things we call training nights, where we go to the place where we have our meetings. Is they have bartered a facility for us to have our meetings in, so we don't have to have it in anybody's house anymore. And we just go there as we look like. We want to go spiritual. Okay, fine. Or we get a new member and we want to show them how we'd set up. We go there. It makes it a lot easier to go there and then, or if we want to, you know, set up, or however once you want to cut it, we just cut it different ways or whatever and try different things. And because we have been there and investigated 7 times now, we kind of know what to expect, what not to expect, to see or hear or experience. So we have a good baseline there. So I would encourage you to try it one night, just for the sake of saying you've tried it and done it. I noticed that people always ask me, worried about bringing something home. And my answer is no, but the possibility is more likely to happen after going to Walmart than it is an investigation. Yeah. In your daily life. So got to keep that in mind, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to throw that out there for your listeners that the possibilities are real when you're playing. I don't want to say playing. I've seen a status about that today, that people think it's a game or think it's some kind of amusement, and it's not. It deals with your spirituality. It deals with your that spirituality is going to be with you the rest of your life. Even if you stop investigating tomorrow, who you are will always be with you.
Yeah.
So, sorry I ran off on something kind of random. I don't know where it came from, but apparently it was important and needed thrown out there, so I just wanted to.
So. Oh, that's fine. Well, we're down to the last 3 minutes, so, Jim, it gives you an opportunity to go out there where your radio show is and whatnot, because we're good about helping and promoting everybody out there in the field, so.
Well, I bought myself the easiest web address I could think to remember to have people that want to listen to my show, and that's italkparanormal.com. And if they can't find italkparanormal.com, they probably shouldn't listen to my show. Yeah, hard reality. That's what it is. And you could follow me on Twitter and find me on Facebook and anywhere fine social media sites are. But I spend a lot of time on Twitter. People think I'm an addict, and I've admitted it. I just don't know the rest of the steps of the process how to quit now.
Well, thanks, Jim, for taking some time out to come on and chat with us. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, no problem. I like to talk. That's the problem.
We do, too. Well, thanks, man, and have a great evening.
You, too.
Night.
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 All right. Man, we just talked about everything tonight.
I think we did. It was pretty neat to have all those different guests and different perspectives and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate Jim Mallard coming on, Brian Sons and Ryan from the Bunker Boys coming on. They saw my post earlier today that I didn't have a guest, and they took some time out to come on and chat with us. So they helped put together a good show tonight. So, but yeah, girls, if you had any ideas of folks to contact, or you can contact them, or have me contact them, I'm in dire need of finding some guests.
We sure can. We'll be looking out for you and stuff like that, and we'll send them your way and stuff. I think that, hey, let me ask you a question. What the heck happened to Melissa?
Melissa's been really sick here lately. She hit me up, I think, Thursday or Friday, it's like messed up her voice. She's been coughing her head off. I think she's had the flu.
Oh, my God.
So she hadn't been able to come on because, you know, last Tuesday she didn't have a voice. And so, yeah, hopefully Melissa will get better. I need to check on her this week. And, oh, by the way, happy birthday to CPR Dennis.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis's birthday is today. He asked if he could come on tonight, but him and your buddy Ryan Jones are having some birthday beers. So,
you don't turn 125 every day.
So, yeah, they said they could come on, but I was like, we'll see how the night goes, you know. I don't know if I want to talk to two drunks tonight. But, happy birthday to Dennis, and tune in tomorrow. Hopefully Dennis won't be hungover. That's right, for Full Spectrum Radio. And stay posted on the Terrify Radio page on Facebook. If you haven't liked us, go ahead and like it. I post all of our guests and links to the show on that. Go and like URN Radio Network's Facebook page as well. You can follow us on Twitter, URN Radio. Those are all the plugs for the night. I'm going to play us out of here with a little bit of Metallica. Good night, everybody.
Good night.